$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with you are my co-host, Brian Higgins.
Ahoy, hoy.
Hello, Brian, and no Rick this week.
No, we are
Rickless. Last minute bailout by Rick. He's got some sick children, which he is sparing us from being infected, which is good.
Sick Rick.
Sick Rick. Well, we don't know if he's sick.
No.
I mean, he might eventually.
I mean,
because that
he's probably carrying.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, he'll be patient zero, and we don't want to go around him.
Yes.
Because then we'll have to have a whole outbreak type scenario because we have to equate our lives to movies.
Yes.
At all times.
Which brings us to our reviews it. Outbreak.
Oh, no. Not at all.
We didn't do
all.
That one?
No, we did not do
we
that.
We should do that one.
We should do that. Yeah, that'd be an interesting. Because so we could do like, well, where are they now of Marcel the monkey? Well, his name was Marcel on Friends. I don't know what his real name is. It's the same monkey, though.
But that is one that I do remember seeing in theaters.
Yes, I did, too. Yeah.
Unlike this week's Reviews It.
Well, this week's Reviews It, you didn't see this in theaters, correct?
Didn't.
I did. It was The Wizard.
The Wizard.
I was thinking, like, okay, is this timely at all? I mean, we just kind of picked
this
movie.
It's very timely.
Well, it is because I was thinking, like, you know, we are currently in the season of Hanukkah.
Oh.
And often I would ask for video games when I was young, so that made sense. We did this movie around this time. It is a gift-giving time of the season.
And in addition, this movie is about video games.
Yes.
And Ralph Breaks the Internet just recently came out, The Secret
okay.
to Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, and there's a lot of video game references.
A lot of video. No Mario in that one.
No Mario. Was that? But they do have a lot
They have a lot, like Pac-Man's in there,
okay.
Sonic's in there.
So those are more like Sega and arcade. And,
yeah.
But are there specific Nintendo? I don't know.
It's like when we were watching The Wizard, we commented, I don't remember most of these games being arcade games, but there was that one machine that had all of the Nintendo games in it. So with the Wreck-It Ralph movies, it's more your classic arcade games that they're featuring.
Speaking of systems that come out with mini games, you actually brought up during the full reviews that you were actually going to break out your NES or SNES classic that you bought. You have both. Okay.
Yes,
and you still have yet to play either of them.
No, I've played them both
okay.
a little bit. The issue is a lot of the games that I would play are games that I've already played.
Ah.
So, like the Mario games, Star Fox on the SNES.
Oh, they have a commercial for this holiday season. PlayStation is doing the PlayStation 1 Classic.
Yes.
With a bunch of games. So,
but see,
I feel like it's a little too new. I don't know. Like PlayStation, yeah, there were a lot of old classic games, but
it was next gen.
Yeah, exactly.
And the type of games that were on PlayStation, yes, I know they have some good games lined up for that, but I feel like there's no way to make an encompassing, like, here's 20 games for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
You've got your Twisted Metal on there. That's great.
Tekken.
But when
Rayman.
When I was playing PlayStation, I didn't have a PlayStation 1. So I had
me either.
I had to buy games and play them on
I had a PlayStation 2.
I had a PlayStation 2 and 3 and 4 now.
Yes.
But with the PlayStation 1, there would be games that I would get, and then I would play them on my future brother-in-law's PlayStation.
Yes.
So that I could have the chance to play. And usually they were the wrestling games.
Ah.
Because your brother got me back into wrestling and through the
N64
games.
And now I don't think he's in wrestling.
Now he's
all.
Not into it
at
all.
Yeah.
He got me back into it. I started watching it and playing the video games. And the PlayStation was where most of the best games were coming out. So, you know, I was playing, you know, the SmackDown games.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun back then. And those are not the games that'll end up on the PlayStation Classic.
Besides the home gaming systems, Brian, you know, the reason why we're thinking about that is obviously one of the biggest first, not the first, but the one that really launched it into the pop culture zeitgeist was the Nintendo, heavily featured in The Wizard. Did you have any kind of follow-up thoughts to The Wizard after we kind of watched this movie, had the full reviews it?
It's a strange movie.
It is a strange movie. And if anyone saw the social media that I sent out, I said, hey, joining the debate, is this a intense family drama because there's a lot of dark stuff in this movie, or is it just a 2-hour shameless plug for the Nintendo?
And the answer is both.
A little both, yeah, I
like,
think so.
It's a comedy that has way too many dark themes in it.
Yeah.
That's also just 2 hours of product placement.
Yeah.
For Nintendo, for Universal Studios.
Too, yeah. Hostess Cupcakes.
Hostess Cakes. Like, there's just, it's an ad.
Yeah.
But it's like those ads that you see this time of year where it's just like, oh, hey, here's something that's going to make you cry.
Right.
Now you want coffee, right?
Yeah. You need something to comfort you.
Exactly.
If you are in a family scenario where you lost a child, might as well play video games.
It's like, when you're feeling down and you cried all over town, you think that you are gonna be better when you have a cup of coffee. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Hey, did you lose a child? Maybe you can save a princess via Zelda.
Exactly.
Like, it's the coping method.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Very strange. But I enjoyed it, though. I mean, like, the pro and con of this movie is that I enjoyed it so much as a kid, and also I think going in its favor is I probably have not watched it again since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I feel if I watched it more often, I might have more nitpicked it and pulled it apart more, but the fact that I hadn't seen it in so many years, and I was like, hey, it's, you know, kind of on par as when I was a kid, kind of played into its favor to me.
And also, it has Fred Savage,
yeah,
who,
as we said, is a very, very good child actor.
And actually, that's another connection to make it timely.
Oh.
Because he's in the Once Upon a Deadpool.
Oh, yes. I think we mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's another tie-in right now to this particular moment in history. So he's got a renaissance happening.
So
Fredissance.
A Fredissance. So speaking of connections, Brian, I don't know if you thought about this, but this is the time of the podcast where we usually connect the previous reviews that we did to the current one. Now, the previous one was that sci-fi cult movie, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to connect
that
to The Wizard. Did you think about that at all?
I very definitely did not.
Okay. So it took me a minute. It didn't really come right away, but thinking about really sitting down, putting my nose to the grindstone, which I literally did.
Oh, now that must have been painful. That explains the
that's redness. Why it's all red and it's currently bleeding all over the microphone. I actually came up with a two-step connection.
Oh.
So Buckaroo Banzai featured Jeff Goldblum.
That's right.
As that new member of the Hong Kong Cavaliers who dressed like a old dusty cowboy, New Jersey. And he was in a classic movie, classic Jeff Goldblum ensemble movie, The Big Chill.
He was.
Now, one of the very early roles in The Big Chill, in fact, uncredited, was the friend that passed away that they all gathered for, Kevin Costner.
His best acting role.
And then Kevin Costner, one of his most famous roles, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, with
Christian Slater
playing Will Scarlet. So, two-step connection there.
But we never actually see Kevin Costner's face.
I thought you did see his body.
I don't
think so.
I think you see like his hands.
He might have got cut
maybe
out.
His
I
hairline.
Think there's versions that it got cut out.
Yeah.
But he is in it.
Yeah. I'll allow it.
Well, okay. Thank you very much.
Better than I did.
Yeah. It's more than you did. Yeah. It's unfortunate that Rick is not here because I think he would really enjoy this game I prepared for this week. But instead of pitting you against him, we'll just kind of see how your score is.
Yeah, I'll just fail miserably on
we'll
my
see
own.
How you, so what I did in honor of the Wizard is I found a list of the top 75 best-selling Nintendo games
of
all time. I am going to kind of read the description of the game.
Okay.
And you're going to have one shot, so think about it, because you're going to have one shot to guess what the name of the game is based upon the description. Now, there's the top 75, and all of these are, which is not really going to matter, they're from the top 50 out of the top 75.
Okay.
So I have actually 15 games, so we're going to see how you're going to do, and I might jump around a bit. We'll start a little easy, and then some tougher ones.
Rank up the difficulty.
Yeah. So, the number one best-selling Nintendo game of all time. Two plumbers race through the Mushroom Kingdom, survive the main antagonist Bowser's forces, and save the Princess Toadstool. Was she named Toadstool back then? Okay.
Super Mario Brothers?
You're correct. There you go.
Wasn't that bundled with the Nintendo?
It might have been. That's true. It's still the number one
selling.
It's like
how Wii Sports was the number one selling game for the Wii.
Yeah.
Because it came with the Wii.
It's still the number one best-selling game of all time, though. Next one. This is the 11th best-selling game of all time. Side-scrolling platform game where Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, and Michelangelo are on a mission to retrieve the Life Transformer gun from Shredder a device that could restore their Sensei Splinter back to his human form.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, again, I was going with another connection to the Wizard because they play that game a lot.
Yeah.
So apparently they were supposed to get the Life Transformer gun, and the goal of the game was to turn Splinter back to human. I never knew that.
Yeah, that seems strange.
I never knew that whatsoever.
I guess you never won.
Next game. Let's jump to number 17.
Ooh.
A sports fighting game where Little Mac fights his way through the ranks of the World Video Boxing Association. The goal is to win a final dream fight against the highly skilled real-life Mike Tyson.
Well, that's obviously Mike Tyson's punch.
Yes. It's kind of weird, the information I found. One seemed like the title Mike Tyson's Punch-Out came out later, and it was just called Punch-Out.
I think it's gone back and forth between being called Punch-Out and Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, because I think there are versions where it didn't feature Mike Tyson.
Right, there's one where they talked about a different end guy, like the big boss or something like
that. Which I can't remember if that was like the early iterations of the game, or if it was post Evander Holyfield during like reissues of the game, where they were like, let's distance ourselves from this guy.
You are doing good, sir. All right. All right, let's do another easy one here. Number 5.
Ooh.
Action-adventure / role-playing game where the hero, armed initially with only a small shield, travels the overworld, a large outdoor map with various environments, who aims to collect the 8 fragments of the Triforce in order to save the princess.
The Legend of Zelda.
That is correct. 4 for 4.
See, the challenge with some of these are because
is it
they've
a
been
sequel or
sequels,
not? Yeah.
Just making sure that I'm getting the right one.
Right. They might start to get a little bit harder, so let's see how we go here. Let's do number 18.
18.
An action-adventure game in which the player controls Samus Aran in sprite-rendered two-dimensional landscapes on the fictional planet of Zeebs, a large open-ended world connected by doors and elevators.
That would be Metroid.
That is Metroid. You are correct. All right, Brian, now we got the number 6 best-selling game.
Oh, that's a high-ranking one.
This is a puzzle game where pieces shaped like Tetrominios, geometric shapes composed of 4 blocks, fall down to create lines.
Could it be Tetris?
That is Tetris. You got it. All right, you're on a roll.
Yeah.
You're doing well, sir. Here we go. This is a platform game sequel.
Okay.
This is number 35, by the way.
35.
Where an evil entity named Nightmare corrupts the Fountain of Dreams. The hero, a pink spherical stubby-armed oval, follows Nightmare into outer space to use the power rod to defeat him. That's right, the power rod.
So I don't know the names of the games in this series, if they have subtitles, but I'm just going to say Kirby 2.
Well, that's technically correct. It's Kirby's Adventure.
Adventure,
Yeah. The first one, I don't remember what the Kirby's Dream or something like that, but I'll give it to you. That's pretty good. Okay.
We all would have called it Kirby 2.
Yeah, we would have called it Kirby 2. They just gave it a fancy
they dressed
subtitle.
It up.
All
it's
right.
Like Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
The number 9 best-selling game.
Ooh.
A motocross racing game where, from a selection of 5 tracks, the player's goal is to qualify in the championship race by finishing 3rd place or above. Players can also build their own tracks.
Oh. Was that Excitebike?
Excitebike is correct.
Wow.
Another one that came with the system.
Nice.
Yeah, I do believe. It was one of the original ones I had. Speaking of, the number 2 best-selling game. Shooter game in which the objective is to shoot moving targets in mid-flight in a woodland area.
Well, that is obviously Duck
that
Hunt.
That is Duck Hunt, correct. And I believe they do feature that one in The Wizard.
Yes. For my money, that was the best.
That was a great game.
That was my
favorite.
That was
fun. And when the dog would hold up them, or he'd also laugh at you.
Yes.
If you missed.
Damn
he was
dog.
Kind of a jerk. All right.
You can actually play as Duck Hunt and the dog in Smash Brothers.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his abilities?
I don't really know.
But there is
a new Smash Brothers game coming out soon, which I intend to own.
Number 41. This one's a little easy. It's easy, except you have to narrow it down. Again, an action game sequel where the hero continues to battle against the evil Dr. Wily and his rogue robots, including Metal Man, Air Man, Bubble Man, Quick Man, Crash Man, Flash Man, Heat Man, and Wood Man.
So it's obviously one of the Mega Man games.
Yes. Which one? This is where I'm going to call it, depending on which one you say. They're all numbered.
They
but you
got to
call which of them was the best selling.
Well, the 41st best selling. Is this the best selling one in the series?
Yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 3.
Mega Man 2.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That was a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, and I was sold better than the first one. Number 7 best selling game. An action puzzle game with falling block tile matching in which a medical physician tosses colored medical capsules into a medicine bottle representing the playing field.
I thought you might have been going for this when you did Tetris, but it's Dr. Mario.
Very similar, yes. I was trying to confuse you between those very similar games.
It's not Tetris 2.
Nope. All right, number 13. A side-scrolling beat-em-up where Thomas, a martial arts master, fights his way through the 5 levels of the Devil's Temple to rescue his girlfriend Sylvia from the mysterious crime boss, Mr. X.
Mm-hmm. This is one I've never played, I think.
And it's another one that came with the system.
Came with it?
Yeah.
I don't know, so I'm just going to say Double Dragon.
No, very good guess. Kung Fu.
Oh.
The game is called Kung... I own this game. I played it a lot. Never knew the guy's name was Thomas. That was news to me.
What character can lead our Kung Fu game? I know.
Thomas. Thomas.
Hi, Thomas.
Number 34. A falling block puzzle game, another one of those, in which the player is given a field that is divided into 4 columns. The objective is to match dinosaur eggshells to hatch them, prevent the 4 stacks, which pile up from the falling monsters, from growing too tall.
I have no idea.
No idea?
Yoshi Madness.
Well, it's just called Yoshi.
Oh.
So I'll give that to
half
you.
Half point.
Yeah.
Was that the origin of Yoshi?
That is interesting because I thought Yoshi showed up in the first SNES game.
Yes.
So did they go back in time and then make one for the Nintendo after they released the SNES? That's interesting.
We'll look it up in the mini.
Let's finish. Well, this is the mini. The mini. All right. I believe we have 2 games left. All right.
And I believe I have all but 1.
You have 2 wrong.
2 wrong?
You got Kung Fu and Mega Man 2.
So, yes.
You had to get the specific Mega Man.
I mean, I got
it's
half.
It's tricky with
half.
All the... and then you got half
And I got
on
half
Yoshi.
Of Yoshi, so...
So 2 wrong.
Total 2.
Number 36. And this... I love this game. This is a fun game. If that helps you. An action platformer where Scrooge McDuck travels the world and outer space in search of 5 treasures to increase his fortune.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a Duckburg. You might solve a mystery or rewrite history. The answer is DuckTales.
Oh, I was going to come in with Tailspin. You are correct.
No, that's OEA.
I was going to try to throw you off. And then the final one, final game, at number 33. This might be the toughest one.
Oh.
An action platform game where the player controls the protagonist Pit through 2-dimensional levels, which contains monsters, obstacles, and items. Pit's primary weapon is a bow with an unlimited supply of arrows.
I know Pit, again,
I
from
never,
Smash Brothers.
I didn't actually know his name was Pit.
I knew him just from Smash Brothers. That's how I knew his name. I've never played this game. I can't remember the name.
Oh, do you have a guess? In my mind, when these games came out, I was like, oh, we got Mega Man, and then we got this guy. And I was like, these are the 2. They went hand in hand in my mind for some reason when they came out.
Heaven's Gate.
Oh, that's a pretty... Kid Icarus. Which I thought his name was Icarus.
No,
I didn't know his name was Pit. Yeah, I was surprised, and I was like, his name was Pit, and not following the Icarus series, they kept making the games for other platforms.
Oh.
So.
Now, were there any titles on that top 50 that surprised you?
Yeah, a lot of them. There were some that I never even heard of.
Oh.
I was not surprised, and I did not bring it up, that number 1 and 3 and 4 were all 3 of the Super Mario Brothers.
Yep.
So when 1 was Super Mario 1, Super Mario Brothers 3 was the 3rd, and Super Mario Brothers 2 was the 4th.
Well, and then you have Zelda, Tetris, Dr. Mario, yep. Zelda 2.
Well, there were all these like ones called Dragon Quest that I was not familiar with whatsoever. Oh. So like they had Dragon Quest 3 and number 12. Dragon Quest 4 at number 15. I was just not familiar with these Dragon Quest games. That was very RPG games, and I feel like I didn't play a lot of those as a kid because I just didn't have the patience for them.
Yeah.
Oh, the one that I thought was interesting, and they kind of grouped it together, because when you think of Nintendo, you think of Donkey Kong, and they had just a kind of a compilation called Donkey Kong Classics at number 39.
Oh.
So I thought, like, the original Donkey Kong, I guess the original Donkey Kong was more for Atari. It was in the arcades, and then it was for Atari, too.
Mm.
Oh, another game that I actually owned at number 42 was this game called Lode Runner.
Oh, I remember Lode Runner.
Which was, like, the trippiest game ever, because if, like, you kind of could put it in a weird 3D mode, remember that? And it would just be, like, almost like epilepsy, just flashing lights going on. It's very strange.
I remember the name more than I remember playing it. Well, I remember playing it a lot.
I remember just being kind of...
I need to look up a gameplay.
Oh, this says the original Donkey Kong was number 60, though.
Oh.
There was also at number 61, Yoshi's Cookie, and number 62, Donkey Kong Jr., so they did separate those out. Mega Man 3 at number 65, and then Metal Gear, which I know Rick was very excited for, came out at number 74.
Oh.
So that was another series that was kind of... Metal Gear was another one that seemed like it just was too much effort.
Yeah, I found a long play video on YouTube, 8 hours and 9 minutes long.
Of Lode Runner?
Of Lode Runner. As played on the Apple II.
Oh.
Which, that's where I would have played it as a kid.
Yeah. It was real trippy game. Just tabulating the score here, Brian. So, you officially got 12 out of 15, which is very good.
Yeah, that's respectable.
That is very respectable.
I would take that if
that's
I was...
That's an 80%, so...
Yeah. I never cared about being an A student. I was content being
you
a B
student.
You just want
to pass. You're good. All right, so moving on.
We're all about nostalgia.
You're
tonight.
All about nostalgia.
We're throwing it back.
And some nostalgia, but also maybe a little bit about the future. I was very interested about what some of the actors in The Wizard were up to in a little segment we like to call, oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
So you're talking about the future, but again, we're looking in the past.
Well, we're starting with the past, but we're looking to the future to see if any of these people are doing anything ever again in their careers.
So for me to look this up, I'm going to have to stop watching this 8-hour video of Lode Runner.
Yeah, you are. You're going to have to unload that Lode Runner.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Because there were actually 4 specific people I was very intrigued to see what they...
Fred Savage.
Where they went. No, not Fred Savage. First person we had brought up was, as we... deemed him the breast toucher.
Putnam,
who was like the bounty hunter guy.
Yes, he's played by Will Seltzer.
Delicious water.
Oh, bubbly.
Bubbly.
Let's see. Will Seltzer was born in 1948. The Wizard is his role that he's most known for.
Yes, I would say so.
He was also in More American Graffiti.
Oh, I never saw that one.
So his last acting credit is from 1994. He doesn't appear to have passed away. It looks like
he just
moved on. He was in.
He became a real life child bounty hunter.
Yes, hopefully. He was in The Line of Duty, The Price of Vengeance, a TV movie.
Did that have Brian Dennehy? He did a lot of those.
It had Dean Stockwell and Michael Gross. He also was in Getting By, one episode in 1993 as Dr. Smalley. 2 episodes of Civil Wars.
Not
as
Dr.
Meryl
Mario.
Penny. TV movie, Her Final Fury. Betty Broderick, The Last Chapter.
That sounds like a dark movie.
He was on one episode of Twin Peaks in 91 as Mr. Brunston.
I could see him being a weirdo in that town.
He was in the film before The Wizard. He was in The All-Nighter from 1987 as Hotel Detective Ted. He was also in Johnny Dangerously as a prisoner. He played Art in one episode of The Amazing Spider-Man in 1979.
Oh, nice.
He was in one episode of Shazam as Artie.
Like the Shazam TV show,
yes.
Like Captain Marvel. Okay.
So that he
plays Art.
He's going across the comic universes.
Yeah, and he's always Art.
And he's
though.
Art.
He bridges Marvel and DC together.
So
that's weird.
He is the key that ties them together. It's like the the guy that's behind the Amalgam universe.
Yeah. By the way, did I bring up? I think I've brought this up on past podcasts, but I watched the show Flash.
Yes.
The Flash. And they often reference Marvel people on that show for some reason.
What type
of? The Flash will be like, oh, Spider-Man or Thor.
Oh.
And I'll be like, what? Yeah, that's a different
company.
Well, but
he's probably referencing them like their comic book characters.
Well, exactly. It's like a world where Marvel comics exist in the DC universe.
I would argue that Will Seltzer probably doesn't have much that people are looking for. But he did audition for the part of Luke Skywalker in Star Wars
Episode
4.
Oh my God.
He was being considered to star along with Christopher Walken as Han Solo and Terry Nunn as Princess Leia.
Wow.
I have a feeling he probably wrote that himself.
Yeah, he probably wrote that himself.
Because having seen him in The Wizard, I don't think the consideration was probably that strong.
No, I wouldn't say so either. By the way, though, if I was to be a clown, Will Seltzer would be a great name, I think. I think that would be a wonderful name. All right, so moving on from Will Seltzer. The guy, the antagonist, the guy with the power glove that was so bad. Lucas Bradford, the first finalist of the Video Armageddon competition.
So Lucas is played by Jackie Vinson.
Oh, sounds like a very old-timey name. Like he's like a 1950s.
I'm Jackie Vinson. He has appeared in 5 acting credits.
Oh, okay.
He does not appear to have passed away, so I guess
no,
he just retired.
No, he wasn't a great actor, so I don't imagine he would have worked a lot.
He was born in 1976. The Wizard was his second role after playing Bachelor in Vegas in the film, I guess, Terminal Exposure.
It's not related to the Nicolas Cage Honeymoon in Vegas.
No.
Okay.
Then after The Wizard, he was on 4 episodes of Grand as Dylan Smithson.
I don't even know what that is. That's a TV show?
That is a TV show that chronicles the goings-on of various people in a small Pennsylvania town, which is renowned for its piano company.
Wow, that's random.
It starred Pamela Reed.
Oh.
And Bonnie Hunt.
Wow.
And Joel Murray.
Whoa. That's one of Bill's brothers.
Michael McKean was on it as well.
He's in everything.
And Getty Watanabe.
Oh, the donger.
Yeah, so he was on that show.
Okay.
Can add it to your Netflix queue.
Probably not.
He played young Gene in Breaking the Rules in 1992.
Is that a series or a movie?
It's a movie.
Okay.
One of the top billed cast, and C. Thomas Howell plays Gene Michaels.
Oh.
So I guess Lucas here is the young version of C. Thomas Howell.
C. Tommy Howie.
And Jonathan Silverman plays Rob.
He is the single guy.
Marty Bielefsky is young Rob.
Oh.
And Jason Bateman is old Phil.
Oh, Bateman.
Yeah.
Not Bateman from The Wizard.
No.
That was the stepdad. And that was the last of Lucas.
Kent Bateman plays Mr. Stepler.
Oh.
And then Lucas had one other role. He was on an episode, of course, of Law and Order as Matt Hastings.
That makes sense.
And that was in 1996.
Sooner or later, you end up on Law and Order.
It's an episode called Blood Libel.
Moving on. The guy, probably of anyone that I want to know the most about from this movie, is that really charismatic, overly energetic host of the video game Armageddon. The finalists of the video game. It hurts my throat just to talk like that guy.
That's Stephen Grimes or Greaves.
Stephen Grimes.
Grimes. The Wizard, not one of his top credits.
Oh.
He was born in 1951. Let's take a look. He has 73 titles in his filmography.
Wow, so he's worked a lot.
Before The Wizard, immediately before, he was in A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child, as Dr. Moore.
Oh. So he's been on screen with Freddy.
And Lucas. Two of history's greatest villains.
Well, two characters with weird gloves.
So right? of his 73 titles, 67 are acting credits. He also has been himself in a couple things. He's appeared in archival footage. He produced one film, The Right Hand Man, and he directed one episode of Beastmaster.
I remember the movies.
Yeah.
There's the TV show Beastmaster?
Apparently.
Okay.
He was in Highlander 2, The Quickening.
Oh, that movie's horrible.
He played Hamlet.
The Hamlet?
Yeah, I mean, that's that's one way to get Hamlet on your your resume, to just do Highlander 2.
I played Hamlet in Highlander 2. The weird sequel that disregarded all the rules of the first Highlander.
He was in a film called Fatal Past, which based on the
sounds like a Lifetime movie.
It looks like it's a softcore erotica film. Let's see what
else. There's a fine line between Cinemax softcore porn and Lifetime movie. You just take the sex out, and it's a Lifetime movie.
In Paradise Road, it's a film with Glenn Close and Frances McDormand and Cate Blanchett.
What was it called? Paradise Island?
Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
No, what was that series of Hulk Hogan?
Thunder in Paradise.
Thunder in Paradise.
He was in Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles. There we go.
I never saw that one.
But it's one that we've heard of.
Well, it's coming. I have the 3-pack.
Oh.
I enjoy the first two movies, and I've never seen the third one. I have yet to put it in.
So Beastmaster was on the air from 1999 through 2002.
Who was the star of Beastmaster?
Daniel Goddard played Dar.
That's the main character from the movies.
Yep.
So.
And Stephen Grives was King Zad.
King Zad.
And King Zad and Barzo gets two, two
Barzo.
Credits there. So, okay, yeah. He was also in the 2002 Scooby-Doo movie.
Oh.
As Ngutuana.
The live-action one?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know who that character is. A ghost?
His most recent credit is Sinbad and the Minotaur as Al-Jabbar.
Oh, I saw that. That's when Sinbad was doing all that stand-up comedy. He was trying to get the Minotaur to, like, submit.
Different Sinbad.
Okay. So that was that guy.
That was that guy.
And then finally, the guy who we were like, that guy looks really familiar. He was the guy who was the tour guide host at the Universal Studios tour.
Yes.
He was kind of on the tram. He looked like he was kind of like a TV actor or something.
So that's Jim Pirri.
With an I?
P-I-R-R-I.
Okay.
And yes, Jim with an I. He has 113 acting
credits. Holy schmoly.
And two upcoming credits. A lot of his work has been voice work.
Okay.
Would you like to wager a guess what his most recent voice acting credit is?
I would need some kind of clue.
Okay, my clue is it's something that you have engaged with recently.
I've engaged with it. So something I've engaged... Oh! Please tell me he is a voice in Red Dead Redemption 2.
He is. He's Angelo Bronte.
Okay.
In the Lego DC Supervillains game, he was Vandal Savage and Calendar Man. So he's done a lot of video game, a lot of voice acting work in recent years. He was Vandal Savage in the Suicide Squad Hell to Pay movie as well.
So here's my question. What has he appeared as, like, live action? Because we recognize his face and not his voice.
Well, let's keep going.
Okay.
He was on one episode of Lethal Weapon.
No.
Nope.
Haven't seen that.
One episode of Bones.
No.
He was the eye voice in Now You See Me Too.
Again, voice. So, like, I didn't recognize him by his voice.
Additional voices in Uncharted 4.
Oh, I definitely engaged in that.
Yes.
Well.
I didn't want to say played.
I play those.
He was on an episode of Mom as an Italian language instructor.
Yeah, wouldn't have seen that.
He was a voice on Penguins of Madagascar.
Nope.
Voices in the Amazing Spider-Man 2 video game.
I never played that one. I did not engage in that one.
Various voices in Grand Theft Auto 5.
I have engaged in that one.
He was on the TV series Victorious, 7 episodes, as David Vega.
Is that a Disney Channel show?
It's either Disney or Nickelodeon.
Yeah, okay, something like that.
It stars Victoria Justice.
Yes.
One episode of iCarly as Mario.
Didn't see that either.
One episode of Cavemen. Were you an avid watcher of Cavemen?
No, I know Nick Kroll was in that, but I never actually watched it.
One episode of Chuck.
Nope.
One episode of The O.C.
Oh, I did watch.
So he was Patrick.
Okay.
In the episode, The End's Not Near, It's Here.
I like how I skipped all those shows, and then we got The O.C., and I was like, yes, now I'm on board.
One episode of Zoe 101.
Nope.
CSI New York.
No.
Alias.
Nope.
Charmed.
Nope.
NCIS.
Nope.
The Gina Davis Show.
Nope. Oh, what? That was a thing?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He played a priest.
Okay.
Freaky Links.
Don't know what that is.
Providence.
Nope.
Nash Bridges.
Oh, I occasionally caught Nash Bridges.
Now get this name. No,
I didn't watch it often enough to know any of the characters.
The character's name. Chet Shedman.
Oh, it's like
very close to Chet Stedman.
Chet Stedman. There we go.
Just Shoot Me. And The Beat Goes On, The Sonny and Cher Show, the TV movie. He played Buddy Black.
Nope.
We've got to find something that you might know.
Well,
Union Square.
Oh, that was a
97,
sitcom?
98. Sergey on Friends, one episode.
Oh, he's on Friends. What episode is that?
It's the one where Ross and Rachel take a break. He plays Sergey.
Oh, that must be what I recognize.
Home Improvement, one episode.
Yeah.
One episode of Family Matters.
Okay.
Three episodes of Lois and Clark.
No.
One episode of Murder, She Wrote. You never watched Lois and Clark?
Not consistently.
Oh. One episode of Thunder in Paradise.
Oh!
Jean Le Fou the Pirate.
There we go. Full circle. All right. So let's end that segment on that note of where have these actors gone? So, Brian, I will ponder to you. So, Rick is not here. So, I was wondering if we could adequately stack rank this movie. I know he was kind of middle of the road on this, so I feel like we still could be able to stack rank this without him, unless we are, like, vastly at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how it goes, and if we have to hold off, we will, but I think between the two of us, we can do a decent job, because I feel like we were more on the positive
side. We were slightly more positive, I think.
And definitely, I think maybe a basis to start off with, which I brought up at the end of the full reviews, it was the other Fred Savage movie we had done, Little Monsters. So why don't we start with there and see where that puts us?
So Little Monsters is very low. That's okay. At 65.
All right, so let's look up. I feel like we should look up.
Neverending Story.
Definitely better.
Judge Dredd.
I'd say better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Free Willy.
Better.
Hocus Pocus.
Definitely better.
Return to Oz.
Better.
Cutting Edge.
I mean, I have more nostalgia with The Wizard, so I'd say better.
The Monster Squad.
Ooh, we're getting tough.
Well, let's keep listening.
Let's keep going, yeah.
Batman Forever. Footloose.
Okay.
How is Footloose so high?
I don't feel like that's high, though.
It's not, but yeah. it's above Batman Forever.
Batman Forever is not great. It has its appeal, but...
Blank Check.
I put above Blank Check.
The Phantom.
I put above The Phantom, okay.
101 Dalmatians.
Okay, let's keep going.
Sudden Death.
Okay, let's keep going.
Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah.
Flight of the Navigator.
Flight of the Navigator was not good as I remembered, but okay, let's keep going.
Hudson Hawk.
Oh, keep going.
Buckaroo Banzai.
Keep going.
Now we're into the Rick realm.
Okay.
Spawn.
I put this above Spawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time Cop.
Oh, yeah, keep going.
Jingle All the Way.
It's
hard for me to go above Jingle All the Way, but Major League...
Ooh, we're getting dicey, but let's see what's still ahead of
Dark Crystal, Teen Wolf, UHF, Twister, The Crow, Kingpin, Masters of the Universe, Cop and a Half, Heavyweights, Batteries Not Included.
Wow.
I feel like now we're getting into the realm where it's going to be difficult to go higher.
Yeah, it's that whole range there. All right, so what we had, Major
League? Let's look at Cop and a Half.
Okay.
Because I think that one surprised us.
That one surprised it. I feel like it held up better than I remembered it.
I think it probably held up better than The Wizard.
Yes, okay. I'll agree with that.
Masters of the Universe. I wasn't here when you guys did the reviews it. That movie is batshit.
It's true.
But it's,
no, you're totally right.
But it's also, if I'm hanging out with friends, I would probably put on Masters of the Universe
crazy.
Before I would put on The Wizard.
Okay. All right.
Kingpin.
I feel like Kingpin's better.
The Crow.
The Crow is definitely better.
Twista.
I feel like Twister's a better movie.
Okay. UHF.
UHF is just great. It's so bonkers. I'm going to say UHF is better.
Teen Wolf.
I think we're going one and two here.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's your thoughts? I mean, Teen Wolf was not as good as I remembered,
well,
but it's still good.
I mean, if we put this on the John scale.
Yeah. Oh,
Teen
the music?
Wolf, the music. Well, this one had the New Kids on the Block.
But it also had all the video game music, which I love. I love hearing this Super Mario Brothers 3 theme song.
the least dramatic reveal possible.
It's funny because I believe there's other podcasts out there that have covered Teen Wolf. And strangely enough, have also commented on how bad the music is.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange? Yeah, that's a weird... I thought that was so out of left field when our guest brought that up, but...
But it's apparently a common
It's apparently
criticism.
A common thread that the music is really bad in Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
What's right underneath there?
Right underneath Teen Wolf?
Yeah.
The Dark Crystal.
You know what? I think The Dark Crystal's better than this movie.
So are you proposing...
Put it right under The Dark
between
Crystal.
Between Teen Wolf and Dark Crystal?
I might even say put it right under The Dark Crystal.
So between Dark Crystal and Major League?
Wow, God,
Major League is good. What about between Jingle All the Way and Time Cop? Because that's the next one. Major League, Jingle All the Way, Time Cop.
I would put it... Now, I know you're going to argue. I would put it right under Major League. But you're going to argue for Jingle All the Way.
Oh, absolutely. Because I already know. I'm going to take a flight.
Yeah.
Less than 24 hours.
Yes, you're flying to Egypt.
Yes.
That's true.
And Jingle All the Way is one of the movies that I loaded onto my iPad in case.
I'm not going to make this difficult, Brian. Let's put it under Jingle above Time Cop.
I think
it's
the best place.
It's a better movie than Time Cop.
It's definitely a better movie than Time Cop. Okay.
All right. So what number is that?
That is going to be the new number 46.
The new number 46. The Wizard. All right, Brian, any kind of final thoughts on the wizard purple bubble blob things named Kirby or dinosaurs that drop their own eggshells to prevent monsters? Anything along that realm?
I love the wizard. It's so bad.
Brian, keep your power gloves off me.
Oh,
stay on that side of the satellite movie cave. On that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Brian and infected, perhaps Rick.
Sick Rick.
Just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Brian, what's going on?
Not much.
Wow, is that the NES Classic?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, you're playing Punch-Out. That's a good
yep.
game. That's weird, though. You just easily took out Mike Tyson.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you're very good at this game.
I am.
Hey, look at though. You opened up more bonus levels? I didn't know there were bonus levels after you beat Tyson.
Oh, you weren't aware of the extra bonus
no.
levels?
No! Wait, there's more opponents to fight after Mike
Tyson? Of course,
Tyson?
Of course.
Oh, like, oh God, who's this guy you're up against next?
This is Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
Oh, man! Okay, let's see it go.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Okay, uppercut. All right. Whoa, bro, you just did a combo where Joey Jojo's mom called him home for dinner.
Yep.
Wow. That was like up left, A, B start.
I saw where you're doing over there.
Okay, so you beat Joe. Okay, so where do we go from here?
Oh, here's Wade Boggs.
Oh, Wade Boggs. You know, the 80s Red Sox player?
Yep.
That's a weird endorsement. It's a very specific unlocked endorsement character.
Well,
game.
Watch this punch. I call it the Lord Palmerston.
Wow.
There we go. Well, instant knockout.
It was weird that you punched him out and then you actually placed a full bucket of KFC chicken on top of him.
That's what he gets for advocating for Pitt the Elder.
Well, he famously like ate all that chicken and
yes.
drank beers all the time. Okay. Wade Boggs. Okay, so you unlocked two bonus levels. So the game's got to be over at this point.
Nope. We've got the Kung Fu Panda.
That wasn't even a thing back when this game
Where
came
do
out.
You think they got the idea for the movie?
Wow. But Jack Black couldn't have been voicing him back then.
Yeah, he was a very young voice, but yes, he was there.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, you're really dancing around the ring. Whoa, Brian! As a young child actor, you really brought down his self-esteem.
Yep.
You said he didn't know his lines and that he was awful.
Yep. Now I'm going to star in School of Rock.
I love that movie.
You'll love it even more when it's me.
And the legend of the rent was way past due. Now playing on VOD.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. And join us next time for our next full movie reviews it. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes. And when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information on Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby Yoshis!